I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
My message is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. And I gave a handout. It's back there on the table if you want it. It's a timeline they put up on the screen, and just something to help understand a little bit. It's just a C average, you know, just me doing it. So don't expect too much. And I kind of rounded off the numbers. You know, if it's 1,998 years, I put 2,000 because it's easier to remember. And I'll be using it in the message some, so just to give you an idea. And the verse there, it goes like this, and that's how loaded this Bible is. It says that at that time, they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, that's about as negative as you can get. But that's in reference to our Gentile forefathers. It's just kind of fun to look back and see what happened in all those years. And I'd like to start with Acts chapter 11, the first three verses, because there's a word there they'd like you to catch. It's the word circumcision and non-circumcision or non-circumcised. It goes like this. Chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. Don't tell me I forgot it. I've never done that in my life. It says, now the apostles and the brethren who are in Judea, having heard that the word of God was received by the Gentiles, and when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, did you go into uncircumcised men and eat with them? And then we'll go to Acts. Boy, I'm blanking out for some reason. Well, anyway, we're going to Acts 11 something. Acts 11, 45. I'll get there. And it says this. Those of the circumcision who believed what? That Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. That's the same belief that Peter confessed, Martha confessed, and the eunuch confessed to Philip. Those of circumcision who believed were astonished as the many who came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. We have the word circumcision, which is always Jew. Uncircumcision, uncircumcised is always Gentile. We always say Jew or Gentile. But when the Bible says circumcision, it's talking about Jew or Israel. Uncircumcision, uncircumcised is Gentile. A Gentile is anyone not born from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Israel. And now Paul here is writing, he's writing to the Gentiles, to you and I, as to where we have come from, the situation that concerning our Gentile forefathers. And it says, at that time, at what time? When God was dealing only with the covenant people of Israel. From the time of Abraham called out in Genesis chapter 12, 2000 BC, up till before Christ was born, he was dealing with the Gentile or the Jews only. He had pulled off from the mainstream of humanity, he pulled off what we now call Israel, the nation Israel, by virtue of the Abrahamic covenant. With a few exceptions, there's some exceptions in the Bible. Like you've got Jonah, for instance. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go. Why? Because Nineveh was Gentile dogs. And that's the label that the Jewish people put on the Gentiles. They were way low in life. They were dogs. He didn't want to go because he had a message of repentance. And if he knew that in his heart, that if he preached that message and they repented, God forgive him. And him and Israel wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. You got Rahab the harlot on the walls of Jericho. And of course, Ruth from Moab. Some exceptions, but by and large, from that timeline that we had drawn there, 2000 BC, you come to Christ's earthly ministry, and even in Christ's earthly ministry, Listen to what Jesus said from his own lips to his disciples in Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6. He says, I command you. Now, that doesn't give you any options. It's a strong language. I command you that you do not go the way of the Gentiles, nor to the city of the Samaritans. In other words, you do not go to the Gentiles, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there were some exceptions in Christ's ministry, the Canaanite woman, the Roman centurion, and the Samaritan woman at the well. But the focus was on Israel, his covenant people. So where does that leave the Gentiles? At that time, they were without Christ. During that 2,000-year period, they had no Savior. They knew of no God. And in the Bible, when Christ is not listed in the Old Testament, you don't hear that Christ mentioned. It's called Messiah. Many times the word Messiah. You have to remember the Gentiles were never promised a Messiah. Only the people of Israel. So where does that leave the Gentiles? Well, the next sentence. It says aliens. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So what's an alien? An alien is a non-citizen who has how many rights? None. Even as lax as we are today towards our immigrants, by according to the laws and the Constitution, a non-citizen has no rights according to the law. Therefore, there's no reason for them to expect governmental help because they're a non-citizen, they can't vote. That was the lot of our Gentile forefathers. They were living in a world of pagan darkness, worshiping gold and silver and wood, tied to the concept of God and goddess, all the way from the Tower of Babel. So they're in that darkened world. Only Israel had a knowledge and a contact with and a belief in the one true God, the God that created the heavens and the earth. That concept is all the way from Genesis 12, the calling out of Abraham, all the way up to Paul going out to the Gentiles when God sends him out. And we have to understand this so the scriptures open up and they make sense. You can't lump all that stuff together. So not only was our Gentile forefathers without Christ being aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, or from it, but they were strangers to the covenant of promise. And for that, I go to Genesis chapter 12. And I want you to hear the first three verses. But the first verse, I'm going to focus on that for a moment. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, he said, get out of your country, from your father's house, from your family. Boy, that's strong language. Get out of there to a land I will show you. Why did God say that to Abraham? Because everybody there were steeped in idolatry, pagan worship, sexual immorality, and what have you. Not one person had a knowledge of the one true God. And that's why he says, come out of there. And you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, and it's, listen to what it says. It's so important to this hour, especially. He says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now, so often when we hear the word evil, we immediately think of murderers and thieves and robbers and whatever. But before the great white throne of judgment, those people will be called evil in the sight of God. Why? Because they're unbelievers. No faith. You can go to Cain and Abel, and I don't know, I wasn't there, but I can make the assumption possibly that in that society or that culture, more people like Cain than Abel. I don't know, but I do know this. When you come to Jacob and Esau, the father loved Esau the most because he was a hunter. Now, I know that I'd rather be with Esau than the deceiver because I was a hunter. I hunted everything, deer, elk, moose, ducks, geese, pheasants, chucker, quail, grouse, anything that flew, anything that walked, and was legal and was edible, I hunted. And my son and daughter, Bruce and Vicki Ann, did not know what domestic meat was till they left home. As all we had is wild game and fish. But I can tell you, at the great white throne of judgment, Cain and Esau will stand because they had no faith, had no interest in God. Now I'm going to come back to the promises. God said to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and I will bless all you do. Now that's future tense. And I'm sure Abraham didn't understand how that was all going to happen. But the next promises to me are the great. He said, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. Why is that so great? Because through Abraham and that promise would come the Redeemer. And then it says in the last verse, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That Redeemer, who is Christ the Lord, will come and bring the plan of salvation first to Israel, but then to all mankind, the whole human race. So who wrote the Bible? Cover to cover was a Jew, the sons of Abraham. Some say, well, Luke was a Gentile. Well, he was not a Gentile. He was a Jew who had a Gentile name. Saul of Tarsus, after his conversion, started little churches in Rome. He took a Roman name, Paul, but he was Jew. They wrote the Word of God. And God at that time was only dealing with his covenant people. And the last verse says, our Gentile forefathers, having no hope and without God in the world. And you know, you hear that and you think, boy, that's cruel. Sounds like God's unforgiving, uncaring. No, that's not the case at all. You go back to the beginning at Adam. And there's 2,000 years, and you go from Adam through the flood to the Tower of Babel up to Abraham. And all those people had opportunity for salvation. They all had opportunity. They all had access to God. What did they do? They rejected it. Now, if you don't believe that, you can go to the flood. And there was approximately 45 billion people on the earth at that time. How many went into the ark? 8. That's a pretty low percentage. We think our percentage is getting bad, and it is. But it's not there yet, and I hope it doesn't get there. But God always has a small percentage of people. You take Elijah under the juniper tree and in the cave, what did he say to God twice? He said, your children, your people, tore down the altars, killed the prophets, and now they seek to kill me, and I alone am left. And God finally said, I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Well, after you take the people out of Egypt, after that time, the average population was from 5 or 7 to 10 million. I think today it's 15. And you divide that by 7,000. And 7,000 sounds like a lot of people, but when you divide that into 7 million, you come up with, I think if my math is right, 0.01. That's 1/100th. So those people that first 2,000 years just walked underfoot things of God. It's no different today. The majority of the people out there, they're not interested in the things of the Spirit. They could care less. And that's the way it is. I think my clock, I still got a little time. Some people say that Jesus, when he preached in Galilee, it was Gentile. That's why he did so many miracles there on behalf of the Gentiles. No, the Bible doesn't say that. They weren't Gentile. And says that these people say that, well, Jesus and Peter preached to the Gentiles. No, not by the book. And I have to let the books down on what it says. Amen. I want to take one last scripture here. It's Acts 11:19. And this is up to the stoning of Stephen. This is just before things are going to change. And this is what took place. And this is about 7 years after Pentecost. And it says, those who were scattered after the persecution, which rose over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching what? Preaching the word. It says, what was the word? Old Testament. Now listen to this. Preaching the word to no one but Jew only. It don't get any plainer than that. There were exceptions. But generally speaking, that was the lot of our Gentile forefathers. They're in a pagan world of darkness, worshiping gods and goddesses, and had their temples. Hardly a one had any concept of the one true God. They just lived in pagan worship and adultery and sexual immorality. And when you come to Acts chapter 9, verse 15, that's when things start to turn. And I just want you to hear this one, and I'll close. You have Ananias, and at this point, Saul has been converted on the road to Damascus. And Ananias is skeptical, and I don't blame him, because Saul has gone to all the synagogues, taking out all the Jews that believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and put them in chains and in prison, whether they were women or children. And I don't blame him for his skepticism. And you know what God said to him? He said, now you go. Because this Paul is a vessel of mine. I'm sending him out to the Gentiles, to the kings and the children of Israel. He's a chosen vessel of mine. And he's going to suffer lots for my name's sake. And did Paul suffer? In prison, beaten, shipwrecked in the waters, stoned. And when they stoned people, they didn't use little rocks. Once you went down, they took big ones and crushed your head. Left for dead, but he came back. And I want to close this way. Are we blessed or what? Man, are we blessed to be born in a time like this? Every morning I shout to God, how blessed we are that Christ has done it all. God sent his son. He hung on that cross, shed his blood, so we could have a personal relationship. He died for you and you. He died for each and every one of us separately. The grave couldn't hold him. He rose again, and that spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. So we can be a vessel shaped and molded to reflect the love of Christ, to honor and glorify God. And I will stand, and I will not compromise the word of God. I will not deny my Savior. Wherever I am, I'll always speak up to God or speak up to them and claim God as my Lord and Savior. And this book is truth, and there's no error. God bless you. See you next month.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.